What's up, guys? Welcome back to the 360 Places podcast. And Ashley is back.
With a banger. I'm joking.
That was dope. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Good to see you.
Great. You too.
I love your hairstyle.
Really?
Yeah, it's dope. Oh. It like goes with the shape of your face.
Oh. What face is my shape?
Like a Maasai.
What shape is my face? What face is like my...
like a Maasai. You've seen Maasais before?
I haven't.
You haven't seen Maasai?
I have seen Maasai people, but I've just never noticed how their head shapes look like.
You have a similar. You have a similar head shape.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
Thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you.
It's just really good to have you.
I enjoy being here. I feel like I want to come here every day and just talk.
Yeah, it's some sort of therapy.
Yeah. That's true, actually.
Yeah, so we had Celio, by the way, a singer from Congo, and he also like goes to school here.
I watched that podcast.
You watched the podcast. Uh-huh. Yeah, he talked about, you know, being in a podcast and his first time experience. It was literally dope. He said he's like doing some sort of like therapist stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, he's an advisor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently, he's a pastor, I think.
He was doing like theology. Mm-hmm. Then he dropped out. Mm-hmm. And he opted to a different course.
Psychology.
Yeah, he's a psychologist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he talked about, you know, the podcast allowing him to open up, you know, listen mm-hmm. to. Also, I also listen to you know, different people. And, you mm-hmm. know, you literally get to hear what they think, what they say, you know, how they perceive different things. So, mm-hmm. yeah, podcast is literally dope.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
You just let out thoughts you never knew you had.
Yeah. And another thing about a podcast, you know, we could have a conversation, me and you, mm-hmm. you know, when the mics are off, but I wouldn't really get to know you as opposed to, you know, when we're having a podcast.
I feel like a podcast is like a deeper conversation.
Yeah.
Like you touch bases on things whilst in a conversation. It's just... lightweight,
yeah.
But no podcast, you go deep into situations,
the pain points.
Okay.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about identity loss. Mm-hmm. So as you know, guys, in this podcast, we talk about, you know, living abroad and travel. And you have two people who have lived abroad for over 3 years now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So between us, it's over 6 years. Wow, that's a little long time.
Yeah. Actually, wow. It's hitting me now.
Now that you think about it, yeah. Wow.
It feels like I came yesterday.
But you've lived long abroad.
Basically
where you live is abroad.
I grew up there.
Yeah.
I don't look at it as abroad. It's like over the pond.
I guess. So yeah. you know, moving to a different, you know, different country,
mm-hmm.
there are different cultures, you know, there are different ways, there are different, you know, styles of talking, you know, accents, mm-hmm. you know, and all that. And it's cool, you know, to have different experiences and meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, it starts, you know, stripping off your identity.
Yeah.
You know, the things you believe in. It gets to a point you start questioning, you know, where I'm from. We believe in this, but here it's different.
That's different.
And it makes sense here than it does at home.
Yeah.
You know, it starts changing you in a way. And since you moved from, you know, Zim mm-hmm. at a very early age, you know, moving mm-hmm. to SA, how has that affected you, your culture, you know, beliefs and your background as a whole?
I think now I'm more of a South African than I am of a Zimbabwean. I relate more to South Africans than I do to Zimbabweans because I know nothing. I haven't been to Zim in the longest time. I don't know the music. I don't know the slangs. So if they're to come and start talking, I have nothing to say because I don't understand, you know. So I feel like growing up in SA, actually, fun fact, when I got to SA when I was really young, I didn't know how to speak English. I was just speaking Shona throughout. And the kids from school would want to talk to me, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
I was just so confused and lost. But if you look at me now, you can't even be able to tell that I couldn't speak English when I came.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like I kind of lost my Zim side. Not even kind of. I lost it.
You lost it.
I lost my Zim side.
So now do you think you're just South African or you're in between?
I'm not in between. I'm South African.
You're South African.
Yeah.
So when someone walks up to you and asks you where you're from, what comes in mind first?
I'm always so confused with that question because my dad is from Mozambique. My mom is Zimbabwean. Oh. I grew up in South Africa. So I'm just like, do I say I'm from Zimbabwe? Do I say I'm from Mozambique? Like, what do I say?
Yeah.
So I want to understand the question, like, where am I from? Like, where was I born? Then I'm like, oh, I'm Zimbabwean.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I remember in the other episode that we did, when you introduced yourself, you were like, Ashley from Zim.
Yeah.
I was like, Zim?
Why were you like Zim like that?
Okay, you just went straight to it.
Because no, you know what? Thing is, I don't know where people think I come from. Where did you think I come from?
I just thought South Africa.
Why?
Because somebody told me you're from South Africa. Ruby told me you're from South Africa.
I stay there.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm South African. Renowned nationality. I'm not Zimbabwean no more now. I'm South African from this point forward.
You're South African. Wow, okay. I didn't want to interrupt you, say you're from Zim. I was just trying to understand, you know, what goes in your mind when someone, you know, walks up to you and asks you where you're from. Because I remember, you know, coming to Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I haven't, you know, as opposed to you, I haven't been abroad in the longest, you know, it's just 3 years barely. And I remember the first time I stayed longer here for, it was like 8 months. Then I went back to TZ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a way you address a female in TZ.
That's different
from the way you address a female.
Mm-hmm.
And in TZ, there's some sort of more polite way to say it. And here's, how?
What's the difference?
Okay, for example, a female in TZ, you can't, you know, here in Kenya, they call them demu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Demu.
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 Demu. Demu. Demu. Just say demu. 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 Like, yeah.
Demu.
Demu. Demu. Demu flani.
Demu.
So even the teacher, you know, older, the lecturer can just ask demu flani.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal word.
Mm-hmm.
But in TZ, it's abusive. It's like you're...
disrespectful.
Like you're calling her a slut.
Demu.
Yeah. Demu. So I was so used to saying demu. When I'm addressing, you know, a female here, when I go back to TZ, maybe talking to my friends, I'm like, mono them. Like, have you seen that girl?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, trying to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, what are you doing? So for me, you know, just that, the talking part, I got confused. And, you know, I was in between now. And at some point when I was talking, you know, I would either say a disclaimer, you guys, you know, I'm used to say them, so when
forgive me.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, when I want to talk, I'm really careful with the words that I have to use.
Yeah.
Because in TZ, people speak very politely, very, even the words that they use.
Yeah.
But here in Kenya, it's...
just vibes on vibes.
Just, yeah. And people get it. Like, you know, it's just words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to understand... for you who has stayed the longest, you know, in Zimbabwe, the different ways that they talk, the different ways that they dress, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to South Africa.
Yeah.
I feel like South Africa is more modernized and it's more free.
Yeah.
Than in Zim, it's more conservative.
Yeah. Like, it just depends where you are in South Africa. But in South Africa, a person can be wearing like a bum short, you know, those shorts that really show like your bum crack and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be walking on the road.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. It's what you decided to wear.
Yeah.
But if you go to Zim and you go to town wearing that, they will undress you. Because they'll be like, it's the same as walking naked. You can't be walking outside with part of your bum showing.
Yeah.
You know, and also in SA, I guess there's freedom. People in SA talk, they have freedom of speech. It's different from Zimbabwe. In Zim, people are kind of like oppressed, so you don't really have your opinion as a person because your opinion might come back to bite you. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And then behavior-wise, Zim and SA are just the two different places. You know, I guess it's also because of the economy. South Africa has the upper hand in how people act, dress, behave because of their economy. They're pretty stable. And people wouldn't consider you to be like a prostitute or something if you're walking around wearing that. But in Zim, I feel like if you walk around wearing and short wearing, showing your ass, it'll be like, oh, she's a night worker kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because like when you describe, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the bum shots and all that, I was kind of like thinking of a situation, maybe a lady is raped, you know. When you go to this country, maybe Zim, the first question they're gonna ask you is
what were you wearing,
right? But in a different country, they're gonna ask you a different question.
No, even in SA,
they're gonna ask you the same question.
Rape case, whether I feel like when it comes to rape, that question will always come. What were you wearing? But I feel like people forget that you don't rape clothes; you rape a person.
Yeah, regardless of what they're wearing.
Exactly. So it's from both sides. But Zim is more conservative. The women are more respectful. They wear longer things. Maybe it's just this upcoming generation now. But previous generations, you know, people are always covered up.
I don't think so.
The previous generations?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think people were covered?
Yeah. So we had this debate with a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, you know, a sudden clip going around saying, mm-hmm. You know, youth have forgotten how, you know, our ancestors used to be in a very, like, conservative way, the way they dressed and all that. But, you know, going back, and I'm talking about, you know, films that show how ancestors, you know, lived and behaved. And if you look at these films, the way they dressed, they only covered their boobs and, you know, just some sort of short clothes that covered, you know, the genitals. It's only that. And the way you know, when you find people dancing, you know, this tribal dances, the way they dress as well, they don't cover up.
Well, you're speaking from a cultural point of view.
Yeah.
The reason why people were partially covered is because of culture. Back then in the days, clothes were not really, you know, it was a white person thing.
Yeah.
But now, in the modern days, I feel like in Zimbabwe, people, because if you walk around with your short, skimpy stuff, you'll be undressed in town. Like, men will undress you. It's not a cultural thing. Like, we are modern now. There's long dresses, there's long skirts. So me deciding to wear something short is a personal choice. But I have to know that when I step out of the door in Zimbabwe, it's unacceptable. I feel like also in Tanzania, you guys have really strong religious beliefs. A woman should always be covered up. I struggled.
In Zanzibar,
Dar es Salaam.
Dar es Salaam is different.
At the border.
Really?
I struggled. Because, you know, I pegged vacation. Okay, let me tell you. I'm going to be honest. Most of my clothes are really short. It's either they're short or they have really long slits. That's it. I was talking to my cousin because I'm going to Zim in December. So he was like,
"You're going to Zim finally?
Finally.
After
so many years. I last went to Zim.
10 plus is?
Yes.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Right? I am so excited.
I feel sorry for you though.
Why?
Are you not afraid you don't going to fit in?
No, my family is very modern.
No, okay, you're not just going to chill with your family.
My cousins and stuff.
Just the community around you.
I don't know, really. I haven't thought about it that far. Like, if my cousins are to bring their friends over, then it's a for sure thing that I'm going to struggle fitting in because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know the slang language they're using. I would just have a lot of catching up to do. So it's a given. Like, it's a for sure thing that I'm not going to fit in. But thank God for internet.
Yeah.
I will survive.
Wow. So, okay. So there are two ways, you know, to look at identity loss, you know, from the inside and from the outside. you know, as you said earlier, you yourself, you know, you, when you look at yourself, you even like say you're not, you know, Zimbabwean anymore, you know, just from the way you act, you know, from the way you know you perceive different things, you're more South African, right? That's in you. And now you're going to, you know, to Zim, you're going to face that external, you know, people are going to judge you, you know, who's coming, you know, because I don't know how your community works, you know, in Zim or in South Africa, but in TZ, when there's a new kid or a visitor in a certain, you know, household, normally the neighbors tend to know, like, he is or she is, they are here, right? Because maybe the family tells them, or they just see you, you know, when you come, there's going to be some sort of a party, you know? Like maybe music, a lot of people in the house that day, your cousins are going to show up, right? And they're going to know. And they're going to maybe want to interact with you. And you're going to face this judgment, you know, the way you talk, you know. I don't know if your Shona is the same Shona that, you know.
My Shona has an accent.
It has an accent, right? So they're going to judge you from that, you know. There's certain jokes that they're going to crack of which you're not going to release, you know.
I feel like for me, it's kind of different. Because for my family or my cousins, everyone is abroad. So when we all come together.
Oh, you're all coming back.
We're all coming back from abroad home, you know. So it's just the grown-ups that are working. But even the grown-ups leave the countries and they come back. So I feel like if it's family-wise, there's no really pressure because we're all coming from different places. We've experienced different things. We have different ways of talking. So you can't laugh at me because of my accent. You also have an accent.
Exactly.
So there's nothing funny about that. But we just get together and talk. How was it when you're in Canada? How was it when you're in Kenya? Yeah. How was it when you're in Germany? You know, stuff like that.
What's the occasion?
We usually have like family gatherings. So everyone, my mom has 12 siblings.
12.
And all 12 siblings have kids and their kids have grandkids. My mom was the last born, so she's the only one who doesn't have a grandkid yet.
Wow.
So we are
you want to give her one?
Not now. Not now. So when we get together, we are approximately 300 people. 300 people.
Wow.
That's a lot.
How big is the house? How big is it?
It's pretty big. It's a very big house. It depends on where we want to meet. Because my uncles have like really, really big houses and the yard is very big. So usually what they do is like they hire catering companies to come and cook. And then the men would be like that side by the gazebos, brying or drinking. And then the kids will be playing in the tennis court or the swimming pool, or there's an orchard also.
Wow. You know, uncles are billionaires.
Not really.
Because no, you're literally just, you know, defining the mansion.
So yeah, that's it.
Wow. And do you guys invite people of the family?
No.
Like friends?
It's a family get together.
Oh, wow. I really wanted a piece of that.
You can come though. I can invite you and you can come.
Oh, thank you.
There's always room for an extra person. Room, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And just to let you know, I can sleep anywhere. So you don't have to think about where I'm going to sleep.
There's a guest room.
Okay.
For guests. So you can sleep there.
All right. So, you know, countries change you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, we ignore some of the things that changes besides, you know, countries. Talk about, you know, high school, university. You know, when you get in university as a freshman, you know, first semester, the person you are and the person you are when you graduate, and they're two different people. They're
different people. Yeah.
And how has uni changed you?
How has uni changed me? I think when I came here, in a way, I'm kind of selective to people I avail myself to. That's why I don't have many friends.
You don't?
I don't have many friends.
Wow.
Okay. Why do you sound shocked?
Because I think you have a lot of friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Wow. Okay, I've seen you in a lot of like, you know, friend groups that work together, maybe talk together, do some Snapchat and whatnot. Yeah.
No, I just know people.
You're acquainted with a lot of people,
Yeah.
you know,
I don't
friends.
think I'm acquainted with a lot of people. Let me tell you what actually happened to me. You see, when I came to uni 2019, I think I was more outgoing. And then COVID happened. When COVID happened and I came back to school, I just now become more to myself
Oh.
than more outgoing. I don't know what happened, but I always get social anxiety. Like I'm always thinking, shit, am I giving the right answer to this person's question? Or what do I say when this person says this in response? COVID just, it just gave me a lot of anxiety. So I'm
It
just
did
like,
a number on you.
it did a number, man. So now I'm just like trying to work on myself to come out of that cocoon and just be more out there.
The old Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't wait to meet you.
Same.
So you're saying something about uni.
Yeah. I don't really think uni has changed me much. I've always been like this. I think I've just grown mentally. I've become more mature. When I first came, I was coming from high school. I was a kid. I was excited. I'm like, oh my God, uni. But school pressure is a lot, you
Yeah.
know. All that excitement kind of just goes away. Honestly, I feel like if it wasn't for friends, a lot of us would have lost our minds.
Yeah,
We
true.
would have cracked, like
Definitely.
we would have quit, you know. So friends just, they keep you
Yeah.
going, they push you, they keep your mind from thinking about school. School is depressing. Is it depressing for you? You're looking at me like it's not depressing for you, like
No.
it's you're alone in
Okay.
this.
When you say school is depressing, it felt like you had something else to say. So I
No.
was like waiting to hear. Okay.
It's just was depressing.
Generally.
Generally, it's
Yeah.
depressing. I just want to get my degree in.
You're not gonna go for master's and PhD.
I'm gonna.
Wow. And you find it depressing. Why would you then go
I'm
back
just doing it for the
to your
money.
old
Let
professor?
me tell you one thing. These days, a degree does not hold value. A degree is just a piece of paper. There are people who are like 26 and they already have their doctorates or their masters. And then I come, I'm also 26 and I'm just holding my degree. Where? Who
Yeah.
will you hire? Who will you hire?
I think I'm gonna hire like okay, basically based on my experiences and you know the people I interact with, I don't think you know certification has a value anymore as it used to, you know, back in the days. Because you know, nowadays even the hiring process is different for many companies, you know. They're more attracted to the skill, not to the papers that you bring to them. They're gonna ask for the papers, maybe, you know, as like a last result, you know, to just confirm. But mostly they're gonna, you know, test your skills. You know, they're gonna give you a certain activity. They're gonna, you know, call you for interviews. You know, different things for you to do. They're really gonna test your skill. So I don't think, you know, whether you have a diploma, whether you have a certificate, whether you have a master's, if you don't know your craft, then I
It
don't know if
makes
you're gonna get
sense. Yeah, like
anything. Yeah.
what you're saying makes sense, but I just don't want to get it, man. I want to be doctor. Come, you know,
Dr. Ash.
when I arrive, people be like,
Yeah.
she's a doctor.
Yeah.
I just
And she's
want the
young.
status. It comes with respect,
Yeah.
you know, rather than, huh, yes, he's working, she's working,
Yeah.
but she's a doctor. She has a doctorate. I want it.
That title?
I want the title.
Wow.
I feel like it commands respect when you walk in. You know, I feel like your parents would also be proud, man.
Very.
When people are talking and they're like, oh, their child is Dr. Joseph. He has a doctorate in IT. A doctorate in IT. Do you know how difficult coding is? Coding is difficult.
Very, yeah.
So for you to get there, you earn it.
But I think for me, it's different, you know. I'm not literally, when somebody walks in the room and they say they're a doctor, I'm not gonna, you know, be impressed myself. And, you know, African parents, they feel proud when you have that title, right? And even my parent wanted me to be a doctor, my father. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to be a doctor. Not just a doctor, like actual doctor. Medical doctor. And at an early age, I also wanted to be a doctor, right? It was something that I didn't necessarily love it. I just felt it was cool. Because, yeah, you know, everyone, the community, yeah, the society around you, when a doctor is there, everybody, you know, pays their respect, mm-hmm. you know, they treat them differently. So I wanted that treatment, mm-hmm. you know, just the validation from, mm-hmm. you know, people. But growing up, you know, facing, you know, different experiences and different meeting different people and actually finding myself, mm-hmm. you know, when you grow up, you know, you find yourself, we all still, you know, mm-hmm. in that process. But when I literally got to know myself, I said, you know what?
This is not what I want.
This is not what I want. And even if it's not going to give me respect, what I want, even if it's not going to give me respect, I mean, fuck it. I mean, it's just what I want. Mm-hmm. It fulfills me inside and mm-hmm. it makes me happy. So I'm just going to go with what I want. And to be honest, you know, doctors don't impress me.
I'm
more impressed, you know, by a person who is, okay, you could argue, you know, when you have that doctorate, you would have good ideas. You know how to, you know, build your, you know, uh-huh. your arguments, you know. You'll know how to interact with people in a more intellectual way, right? But, you know, there are people who haven't even gone to school. But when you sit down and listen to them,
that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh. Do you know this guy called Gary Vee? Uh-uh. Gary Vaynerchuk. Uh-uh. You don't know this guy. Ashley, what are you doing here?
I don't know him.
Okay, I'm going to send you a couple of links after the episode. Mm-hmm. He's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. I think he just ended, you know, he just did his high school. I don't even think he finished. Mm-hmm. But he's one of the geniuses in the business world. Renowned, like.
What does he do?
So he's an investor. Mm-hmm. He invested, you know, in Facebook at an early age, mm-hmm. when he just started investing in Facebook. A lot of companies, a lot of LinkedIn, a lot of companies. He also has a lot of companies himself. Mm-hmm. The main company that he runs is called VaynerMedia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's an advertising company and also they just produce content. Yeah. So he does advertising for these big companies like mm-hmm. Pepsi, you know. And all that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's a Louis Dopp guy.
How old is he?
Late 40s or early 50s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's dope.
I don't know, bro. I feel like when it comes to school, your background, your family background plays a part. You know what I'm saying? For me, I felt the need to want to do the doctorate because all my cousins that are the same age as me or slightly older have gone to this point, you know, and when they announce it on the family group chats, Tafa has gotten her doctorate, she's graduated, and everyone's like, wow. And then now, I mean, when, let's say I don't do it and then I have the money, like I make tons of money from my side hustle, whatever I'll be doing, it'll be like, oh, wow, she didn't even go to school, but she's doing this. But if it's your child now, you know, sometimes you have to fight your parents for you to succeed in your side hustle because Black parents taking you to school is an investment. They're investing in you. So now for you to just come and be like, I don't want to finish high school, or I want to drop out and be a shop owner or a rapper or a SoundCloud rapper. That's BS. Imagine you going to your parents and telling them, I want to drop out and do podcasts. How do you think they'll take it?
Okay, I'm going to answer in two perspectives. Mm-hmm. One, I'm going to try and fit in their shoes and try to be the parent. Mm-hmm. And the other, I'm just going to be me, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, being me, I'm just going to feel like it's okay because it's what I want.
It's what you want.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm going to succeed in it. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't, I would feel bad if I didn't give it a shot, mm-hmm. you know? I'll just keep ending up saying, you know, maybe it might have worked, you know, might have been, you know, made it for myself. On the other hand, you know, looking in from the parents' perspective,
your parents will tell you you would do that with your own money at your own spare time.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, with African parents, at least, you know, the parents that I know, given you education, they feel like they're helping you, they're investing in you. Mm-hmm. As opposed to what I believe it's their responsibility to educate you. It's not help.
But they're expecting something from
you. Yeah, they're expecting, and they shouldn't.
Do you think they shouldn't?
I believe they shouldn't.
They have taken you to school.
It's their responsibility.
It's their responsibility, but yeah. I feel like it would be selfish. How much have you paid in school fees in Barberton so far?
A lot. Yeah.
Then you come back, sharp, they were responsible, they did their duty. You come back, you start living your life. You don't send money home, you don't send food because it was your parents' responsibility to take you to school. As much as it's their responsibility to take you, it's also your responsibility to appreciate
what they did for you.
So it's exactly. a must for you to give back to them.
Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't give back to them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the way they put it, the way they, you know, they force it on, you know, children. They make it look like they're helping you,
mm-hmm.
right? But they're not help. Okay, they're helping you, right? But it's their responsibility because they're your parents, after all. They brought you into this world. Just like God created us, right? So he has the responsibility to look after us mm-hmm, when we pray mm-hmm. to him. He has the responsibility to answer to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, because they have done that to us, we now also get the responsibility to give back to them, maybe by doing well in school, mm-hmm. maybe by, getting those grades. And yeah, so I'm just saying it shouldn't be a must. Yeah, it shouldn't be a must. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait to be a parent, man.
I don't want to be a parent.
You don't want to be a parent?
Dude, I'm always seeing what kids do to their parents.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of giving birth to a problematic child because I am more of an action doer than talking. I will beat that child. I will.
You'll beat them up.
I don't want problems.
But I think, you know, you've been the child that maybe you went through some certain experiences. Mm-hmm. Maybe you did bad things, you know, you went through, you know, you mm-hmm. made bad decisions. I think when you have a problematic child, you're going to relate to them more and, you know, being at a point where you can help them more than a parent who, you know, was straight.
But the problem is your child is always worse than you were.
Yeah, it could be. But, you will clash. But you're going to be in a better position to help them. Let me give you this example.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a student, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been a student for over like 10 years mm-hmm. now, like elementary school, just all through to uni.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've always like seen things from a student's perspective. You know, when you're in class, you talk to your friends and teachers tell you stop making noise, mm-hmm. you know, you just see it you as continue yeah, you continue talking. You don't do assignments, you know, you don't give the assignments in time mm-hmm. and you go just give up some bullshit explanation and you expect for the teacher to understand. Mm-hmm. You know. So 1 year or two years back, I landed this, you know, gig. I was supposed to teach this high school graduates
mm-hmm.
some coding, right? At this university, as some certain college,
mm-hmm.
right? So I taught them for about 3 months. So I started getting...
The teacher's perspective.
I was literally bad. Tables turned. Right? But at that point, you know, me being a student at the same time, you mm-hmm. know, teaching...
Mm-hmm.
It literally got me to understand and be at a very good position to relate to the students. I know where they're talking, you know, mm-hmm. they're talking, you know, from me, from the back, they're talking about this stuff. So I know where they're talking, mm-hmm. maybe because they're bored, maybe the class is boring, mm-hmm. maybe because of this. So I was in a better position to adjust, you know, the environment for them to concentrate or, mm-hmm. you know, do this and do that, as opposed to, you know, somebody who has not been in that situation or they've been in that situation for a long time
mm-hmm.
and now they're coming back to it, right?
So would you say that you switching roles has kind of changed you now that you're in Barberton? Do you submit your assignments on time? Are you understanding from the teacher's perspective?
No, bro. I think this literally relates to what we're talking about, you know, when you go to a certain place, when you go to Zim, for example,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to try and act as a person from Zimbabwe. you're not going to force yourself, but at a certain point, you're going to, you know, try and keep up with, you know. So me being back to Baraton, I wasn't going to try to be that student teacher person, right? Yeah, I was just going to be me. And at a certain point, it was going to force me. You know, my friend is going to talk to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's used to talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell him, shush.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah, don't talk to me. Learning. Yeah, I'm learning just because I got that experience. So I feel like I didn't necessarily go back to the student that I was. I just changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in between. Yeah.
It's always good to feel both sides.
Yeah. You know, on the coin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you understand where this person is coming from, and
if
tables were turned, how would I react as this, this person?
Exactly.
But yeah, man, I feel like growing up just makes you lose your identity. You don't really lose like your identity per se. Some people evolve into a better person. Some people lose themselves completely, especially in uni.
Yeah.
In the uni, it's either you evolve or you're down bad horrendous. That's it.
Do you think someone can hit rock bottom and they can't come back up?
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
And they literally can't?
Yeah.
Oh, I think differently. I think there's always, you know, a window for turning back.
Mm-hmm.
No, it won't be necessarily, you know, turning back to 100. You might turn back to 90 or 80 or 70, but there's always, you know, a window for you to, no matter how far you've traveled from yourself.
But I feel like it would depend. You see, when you see that window, it means you would have been looking for that window. But there's some people who just give up. You know, like when they're now down bed, they're like,
Fuck it.
I'm here. I might as well just stay here. There's nothing to fight for. There's nothing for me to continue living for. You know, so they remain down bed, horrendous.
Yeah.
But some people get down. They stay down for a while and then they fight it. I don't want to be here. I want to be a better person. I want a better life for myself, for my kids, my future. You know, so you start looking for that window. That's when you find that window. So I feel like you can only find that window if you're looking for
it. If you're actually looking for
it. Yeah.
What if someone is helping you see it?
If there's somebody helping you, then for sure, you'll come back up. But you also have to be willing to help yourself as a person. Because I can't be helping you and then you're not helping yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to get tired of pushing you, telling you, motivating you. No, it's okay, Joseph. No, it's okay. It's okay. You also have to instill positivity in yourself. That's the only way you can come back up. But if I'm giving off all my energy to you and you're just draining it, at some point I'm not going to have energy left. You are just draining my energy, but you're not reciprocating it.
Yeah.
And then now we're both down. I'm also depressed. You're also depressed. Now we're just two depressed people.
Yeah.
So I can help you if you're helping yourself. That's the only way to come back from rock bottom.
Yeah. And do you feel like somebody can literally lose their identity? You know, maybe when they go to school, when they go to a different country.
I don't think you can lose your identity. I don't think you lose it. You just start creating layers, you know, layers of different personalities. But if you come back and really, really try to find yourself, you will find your identity. So you don't lose it. You just layer it. You know, I have this thing. It's a terrible thing. But I have this thing where depending on who I'm with determines the personality that I have.
You're bipolar.
I'm not bipolar. Oh my god.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm not bipolar, guys. I'm not bipolar.
I think everybody has this tendency, you know, when they're with their parents, it's a different person. When they're with their friends.
That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm literally saying, depending on who I'm with, whether like my friends or my friends that I have, I give off different vibes. You know, I'm not this Ashley to Ayan or to Nash or to Zill. That I'm not the same Ashley that I am to you, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah.
Different people, different vibes.
Different vibes. Just vibes. Just vibing.
Who brings out the best, Ashley?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really lucky.
So, yeah.
Wow.
It's a bad thing, though.
It's a bad thing? Why?
Because, like, imagine, okay, before I came to school for my birthday, right, I was planning, like, a birthday dinner for my friends.
Yeah.
I sat down and I started thinking, I have different friends that bring out different personalities in me. So I have wild friends, I have calm friends, I have neutral friends, you know. Now I'm thinking, I'm bringing all those people to one room. Which Ashley would I be? Which Ashley am I choosing to be on this day? Because all my personalities are there.
So you end up being what?
I just brought my wild friends to the party and I left everyone else out.
Jesus.
And then I just did something else on the side. Like I just decided to break them and do different things with them.
Yeah. Because you behave differently with them.
Yes.
And you didn't want to compromise that.
No. I didn't want it to be like, Ashley, you do this. Ashley, you dance on tables at class. Ashley, ha, I've never seen you like this. You know, I just didn't want to change how they view me. So I just decided to break it.
Just like Mentnum.
Yeah. So I don't know if I can, does that mean I lost my identity? Or does that mean I don't know who I am?
I think it means you're protective of what people think of you.
I'm protective of my identity.
Yeah. And you have, I think, I feel like you have different identities and you're protective of each identity and you don't want them to be compromised. And it's not a bad thing, but at some point it makes you act weirdly to, you know, certain situations.
Yeah.
Where maybe you're not in between the line and you're forced, you know, to act in a certain way just because, you know, you can't say A, you can't say B. So what are you going to say? And it's between A and B. So you're just going to keep quiet, right?
Yes.
Or you're going to...
Literally, what I do. Just
exactly.
Keep quiet. Or I just, like, I don't know you guys and then I walk away.
Wow.
Like, I leave it.
You leave it.
I leave it.
Wow. Well, so the last thing that I wanted us to you know, talk about, as you know, as far as identity loss goes, right? So we talked about, you know, somebody losing themselves completely, and you know, they're not sure who they are anymore. They're not sure where they belong. You know, it gets to a point they're very depressed, and you know, maybe they want to commit suicide, right? And I feel like, you know, statistics says over the years, you know, the numbers have been, you know, just over the roof.
Skyrocket.
Yeah. And do you think, this, you know, the whole moving abroad thing can damage your identity to a point where you'd want to commit suicide?
I wouldn't say necessarily want to commit suicide, but the first time I came here and then I saw the situation I was in, it took me a long time to adjust. I was depressed. Like, I was depressed. I was just waking up, going to class. What I think you wouldn't be depressed if you know what you're getting yourself into. You know, I'm going to Kenya. You've done your research. You know the type of place you're going to.
Yeah.
But for me, I was just brought here. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Same to me.
And then let me tell you what happened. So my cousin was like, my mom, I was applying. And then I applied at University of Nairobi. I applied at Strathmore. And then my aunt was like, oh no, there's this school that my cousins go to. It's a really nice school, top of the schools, university. Where I researched it, it's like Barrington is the third, is it the second or the third best private university?
In Kenya.
Maybe. You haven't seen those. You haven't? Funny. I'll show you. And then I'm thinking, oh, wow. Okay. So I also just decided to apply here. My cousin applies for me. So I'm talking to him. I'm like, so how is it there? Like, do you guys have malls? You know, how are the people? How's the environment? And then he's like, hi, it's really nice. It's really nice. You see when you get here. He starts sending me, like, he sends me pictures. the trees were so green, you know, the fields, the grass was green, the sun, the like, it was just beautiful, man. It was beautiful. And I was like, wow, this place is beautiful. So he applies for me. 2 hours later, Barrington responds. I'm thinking in my head, what type of university responds to an application within 2 hours? Because some universities most actually take months before they get back to you to be like, you've been accepted. Okay.
And you've been told this is a prestigious university.
Dude. Okay, I tell my mom I've been accepted. So my mom's like, okay. So you have to start buying things. You have to start packing, buy the plane ticket. I come. When I arrive, it's like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see what was going on. In the morning, I wake up. I'm like, guys, let's go to Mac and Bean. I'm hungry. Everyone looks at each other. They start laughing. Ashley wants to go to Mac and Bean. I'm like, what's funny?
Yeah.
And then we walk. We come outside. I start seeing cows and goats and sheep. I was just startled, man. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
I go to CAF. They serve chunks. I had never eaten chunks in my life. I had never. So yeah. I pick it, I eat it. It's not tasting like meat, but it looks like meat. I'm so confused, you know. The food tasted terrible. I'm seeing cows and goats. I went into depression because I wasn't ready for it mentally. I wasn't ready for it physically. So I just went into a state of depression. I stopped eating. I would literally faint from not eating.
Wow.
And then I just spoke to myself. I'm like, you know what, Ash? This is where you're at now. You just have to accept it. Do your 4 years, get your degree and leave. That's it. That's how I just managed to get myself out of it. Exactly. But I was depressed. I would cry. Sometimes I would line up on the cafeteria line, go all the way in and up and look at the trays, look at the food, look at the people, walk out, go to dorm and cry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, guys, this was episode number 36. We had Ashley in the house.
Yay.
Yeah, the golden voice.
Thank you so much for having me. I had fun doing this.
Me too. Ciao, guys. See you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.